Thank you so much for tuning in to our church podcast. You can go to otarapentecost.com for questions about services and how to donate. We pray that you are blessed by this message today. God bless.
I love that song. I can't remember. I watched years ago, there was a quarterback in the NFL, and he was a backup, and the starting quarterback got hurt right at the end of the season, and he took over for the team, and they weren't given much hope with him being the backup, and they went all the way through the playoffs and won the Super Bowl, and he said that song is what gave him the courage and the motivation. You know, I forgot all about that until I was sitting right there and you played that song. It's kind of an older song, but amen. Christ alone. Woo. Well, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? Okay. You know, there comes a time in your life where you go from the anticipation of receiving Christmas gifts to giving Christmas gifts, right? Somewhere that happens, and you get more joy out of giving the gifts than you do receiving them. But I'm going to give you an opportunity here. Is there anybody out there? You know, I remember being in school, and we'd come back from Christmas break, and this was in the 80s when sweaters were really in. You know, Bill Cosby was the number one celebrity, number one TV program, and he always wore sweaters. And so kind of sweaters were kind of the in thing. And I remember going back to school after Christmas break, and I started looking around, and all the guys were all wearing new sweaters. In those Christmas sweaters. Is there anybody out there that you've got a new Christmas garment that you're wearing today? It could be shoes. It could be... I know Brother Jack's got... He told me he's got a Christmas coat on right back there. We got a Christmas scarf. We got a Christmas boot right there. Is that right? We got a Christmas shirt right over there. There's something special about that, right? I got a Christmas hat. I didn't wear it tonight. Wasn't even thinking about it, but it's up in my closet, and maybe one day I'll wear it. I don't know. What's that? Well, yes, yeah, some hat. So anyway, you look wonderful in your new, and you got a new Christmas hat. Oh, there you go. Well, I think you get the prize tonight for wearing two Christmas garments, two Christmas items. Amen. Well, I hope you all had a new Christmas sweater or something that you can wear, and you got everything that you wanted and needed for Christmas. Now, let me ask you this. Did you get any time at all to kick back and relax, lay on the couch maybe, and listen to some Christmas music? Did you do that? You got some time to do that? Hey, there you go. Brother Mark? Okay. Well, anyway. Okay, let me ask you this. Did you get a chance to indulge yourself in a Christmas movie? Anybody? Maybe one of your... Any particular one that you liked, or The Grinch Stole Christmas? And what are some of the redeeming qualities of that movie that could help you in your life? Woo! That is great. Any other? Yes. A Wonderful Life? What is that? Oh, I made her watch it. Aren't those the best movies?
No.
Yes, Gigi. Miracle on 48th? 34th, 32nd, whatever, something like that. You know, I try to watch some Christmas movies every year. I don't have a lot of time to sit around for 2 hours and not do anything, but I try to. And this year, I got 3 Christmas movies in. 2 of them were in black and white. The first one was Heidi, which I think I watched probably. It is too a Christmas movie. Is Heidi a Christmas movie? How can you call yourself an American? I remember I worked with this guy, and he had never seen Old Yeller. And I said, "You've never seen Old Yeller? Now, you got to take it. I'm a kid that was raised in America that had a steady diet of television, okay? And so I didn't think that you could call yourself an American if you had never seen Old Yeller." That was my thinking back then. That was some 20, 30 years ago. Go ahead. Is that a Christmas one? It is. What is a redeeming theme on that? There we go. Good, 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 good. Well, so I did. I watched 3 this year. Heidi was a good one. Yeah, did I shed a tear in it? I sure did. Don't think I'm any less man than before when I said that. I don't know why. I just kind of get sentimental in those things. So anyway, and then the other one that I watched in black and white, It's a Wonderful Life. I watched it twice. I forgot how good of a story that is. And I watched it one night, and then with the girls and Felisa, made the girls watch it. And then the next night, I made Easton watch it. And anyway, it's tough for a kid to sit through a 2-hour black and white dialogue movie with no special effects and not look at your phone for 2 hours. I mean, it's almost like a prison sentence, right? That's hard to do. Just put the phone up, focus on that for 2 hours. That's hard to do nowadays. But anyway, so what I wanted to talk to you tonight about this. It's a Wonderful Life. Hey, look at that. It's a Wonderful Life. Not the Hollywood version. Your version. Amen. Do you know you've got a wonderful life? And the movie does a really good job of bringing that into perspective. Right? So I'll talk a little bit about the movie as well. But before we do that, we will pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord God. And we're so grateful for the work that you're doing with our church, Lord God. And we're so grateful for the peace and security that we enjoy living in America, Lord God. We just pray that you would continue to allow the church to go forth and that we could preach the gospel to all of the world. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Raise your hand if you've never seen this movie. Okay. I've got an assignment for you. Sister Kathleen, shame on you. Oh. Can anybody vouch that this is a great movie? It is really, really good. Yeah, it's really, really well done. Gigi, did you like it? What did you like about it? Yeah, me too. I like that part too. All right. Anyway. Oh, man. Okay. And if you don't know what the movie's about, it's about this man, George Bailey. And George Bailey, it starts out as him as a boy. He's growing up in a little town. And the story takes place about 100 years ago from where we are today. So the world was a lot smaller, right? Today, you can kind of go and visit the world and see the world with never really leaving your hometown. I mean, you can watch any kind of video on any city you want around the world, and you can communicate with people anywhere in the world. You can play games online with anybody anywhere in the world, right? The world is a whole lot smaller than what it was back then. And this boy had dreams of leaving this little town and doing something grand and big and being an explorer and seeing the world and seeing all of these things. But circumstances would not allow that to happen. And he would have to stay in this little town and take on the family's business, a little building and loan. It allowed people to have the American dream, own your own home. He was the alternative to the rich, greedy, rich man of the town, Potter, who wanted everybody to be in his slums paying rent. And so the story goes, as he gets older and older, he has chances to move out and do the things that he's always wanted to do for himself, see the world. And it takes you right to the point every time where he's ready to get on the train and fulfill his desires. But something happens. And he's the only one that can come in and do what needs to be done in that family business. And he ends up living his life doing what the opposite of what he wanted to do. He never wanted to stay in that community. He never wanted to be in that business. He ends up with a lovely wife and children. Seems like it would be very satisfying, very fulfilled life. But there's always this inner turmoil that he has, that he never fulfilled really what he personally wanted to do. And so there's all kinds of little lessons that you can learn as you go through watching this movie. And so what happens, he gets into a point of where he becomes tremendously discouraged. And his life that he has, even though it's not what he wants, it's getting ready to be lost. And he's at the end of his rope, and he doesn't know what to do. And I love this part, because even people who are not Christians, when they get pushed to the point so hard in life, they'll do what George Bailey does in this movie. At the point of being broken, he says, as the tears come down on his face, he says, God, you know I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, I don't have anywhere else to go. This is the reality. You know, I watched that movie with Tom Hanks years ago, Stranded or Abandoned or whatever, on an island. What's that called? Such a bad movie. If somebody was on an island by themselves, the last thing they would do is make an idol out of a volleyball and start to pray to it. Wilson! No, they would be doing like George Bailey. God, get me off this island. And they never portrayed that once. But in this movie, they do. And he's given a gift, according to the movie. He makes a claim, even like Job. It'd be better if I were not even born. He said it would be better if I wasn't even born. And so in the movie, his guardian angel says, oh, you don't want to say that. He's discouraged. He's in despair. He says, yeah, it'd be better if I wasn't born. And he says, you're going to see something. You're going to be given a gift. You're going to see. And he takes him back to his hometown, Bedford Falls, where he grew up, where he's lived all of his life. It's not even called Bedford Falls anymore. It's Pottersville, from the rich man who took over the town. Everything has changed. His brother passed away at 9 because he wasn't there to save him. Everything had changed. His wife never got married, never had children. And so he comes to the reality of that he has a wonderful life because of his life made such a magnificent difference in all the people that he had touched throughout his lifetime. And he never took that into consideration. And so let me say that to you. You do not know, we do not know, I do not know the impact that my life has had on others. We just don't know. You don't know the impact of the time that you've put in on all these Christmas plays. We can't remember what the Christmas play was 5 years, but the impact of it 5 years, we don't know how beneficial that was to somebody. We don't know. And that's what this movie allowed to happen. Anyway, great movie. Please don't be offended by me. I hope I'm not offending people. And I don't watch a lot of movies. I probably watch 4 or 5 all year long. But at Christmas time, I try to watch something with the kids. But I want to talk to you on a few Bible scriptures. Amen. I would say, if you've never seen it, there's a black and white version, and then there's one that they've put color to. Watch that one, the one they put color to. It still feels black and white, but it's got a little bit of color in it, and you'll love it. Now, I'm going to challenge the teenagers. Put this in the other room when you watch it. See if you can sit through a 2-hour and 19-minute movie without having the shakes. Where's that phone? Where's that phone? Where's that phone? Where's that phone? I mean, this thing, it's addicting. Yeah. Some adults, you know. The end of the movie is great. Auld Lang Syne is just, you're just going to love it. And just be prepared to thank God for all the blessings in your life. That's really the feeling I get when I watch that, is I'm grateful and thankful, amen, for what God is in my life. Not just what he's done, but what he is. Amen, he is my Savior. And this life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. But eternity with him will last forever. Right? Problems are only temporary here upon this earth. Amen. But let me cover a few scriptures. I would start off with Psalms 139 and 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a wonderful life, isn't it? You're wonderfully made. Easton, you're wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Woo! Did you know that you are God's apex of creation? You are his fine jewel, the crown jewel of his creation. You know, he's not coming back for the Grand Canyon, the sunsets over the mountains, shorelines. He's not coming back for Maui and the Hawaiian Islands. He's not coming back for a safari trip. He's coming back for one thing, for his image creature. Amen. You and I. Praise God. This is what he's coming back for. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous either are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. Can I show you something that's the opposite of this? I sent over three pictures. Can you do the first two? There you go. So that's a gingerbread house. Now, that's not fearfully or wonderfully made. You know, it's kind of like when my boys were, and they're 5, 6 boys trying to do gingerbread houses. They don't look too good. There's not a lot of effort put into that gingerbread house. And the next one's not that much better, you know. It's kind of gingerbread. I don't know what that is, but there's not a lot of effort and detail put into that. But look at the next one. There's another one in there. I sent three. I saw it on there. You got to scroll down. Two more emails. Anyway, just Google the most beautiful gingerbread house and throw it up there, please. I want you to imagine the most beautiful, epic gingerbread house you have ever seen. Right? Has anybody ever made a gingerbread house? Sure. Who here has never made a gingerbread house? Me, I haven't. Okay. I never have. I don't have the patience to sit down and I have no desire to fearfully, wonderfully make a gingerbread house. Do we have an example of what? Hey, there we go. Now that took some time. That individual who did that was very particular, very careful in how they did that. And so I want you to know, when you get to a point of discouragement in your life, boy, you're special. God, he invested everything into crafting you, to design you, to give you the personality that you have. Whether I rub people the wrong way or the right way. It's that personality. That's what makes Brian you, Brian. Right? Amen. How about this scripture, Psalms 139 and 13? It's right before it. Look at this. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Do you know that only God can do this? Bring forth life. He is life. You start off with the spark of God that brings forth life in your mother's womb. That's how special you are. Okay? This is how special we are. No, we haven't evolved from an ape. Okay? We didn't evolve from a fish. I know my mom always said my dad was the missing link because of the lump on his forehead and some other long arms and big hands and all that, but he really wasn't. He was made in God's image. Right? How about Psalms 139 and 17? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There are times we have to make sure that we remind ourselves of these things, that I am the apple of his eye. Right? His affection is upon me. God is for me, not against me. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Hey, sometimes your mom and dad might not think the best of you. Sometimes your children don't think the best of you. Sometimes even your husband or wife doesn't think the best of you. But God, his thoughts are always about, if you're having a bad day, tomorrow's going to be a better day. If you're having a bad week, oh boy, next week's going to be a lot better. He just doesn't know it yet. These are the thoughts that God thinks towards you and I. Amen. How about Jeremiah 29 and 11? For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Is that great? You know, I know that's not written to me specifically, but I know that I can apply it to my life as a saint of God. That's how the Word of God is in some areas, in some scriptures. And this is a scripture that we can apply to our life and that we can take comfort in. This is that the Lord is preparing for a great day that he will be united with his bride. That's what he is preparing for. And so these are the thoughts that he thinks about you and I. He thinks, Brian, you're doing good. Keep it going. One day, you're going to receive a gift of glory that hasn't entered into the minds of men. This is what he thinks. And this is what we have to remind ourselves of. Even when we're discouraged, like George Bailey. Now, he was a man that was not a praying man. And so he was looking at doing something pretty bad. You and I, on the other hand, we're not like that. If you have the Holy Ghost, well, you have the comfort inside of you, knowing that Jesus is always with you, right? He's as close as the mentioning of his name. We don't have to be like George Bailey and say, God, if you're up there. No, we have the confidence of saying, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. There are times in your life when you are gonna have to, like David, encourage yourself in the Lord. They were gonna stone him, all of his mighty men, his family's been taken. What was the only thing he could do? He had to say, listen, David, God's got a predictable end. He's got a desired outcome. He didn't call you this far to let you be discarded. He didn't call you into this so you don't fulfill your destiny and your purpose in life. So there are times when we will have to do this. We have to encourage ourselves. Amen. Praise God. Can you give me Jeremiah 1 and 5? I'm almost done. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God is no respecter of persons. Do you know that before you were formed, he knew exactly when you were going to be born? He knows exactly the number of days of your life. He knows exactly what is going to happen. He knows these things. This is why he's holy, because he is not part of creation. He is the creator. He's not man. We can't compare him to man. We can't compare him to man's wisdom. We can't compare him to man's power. We can't compare him to man's knowledge. He's not on those scales. We cannot understand those aspects of God. That's what makes him holy. We are part of creation. But this is a scripture that I take great comfort in knowing that he knows everything about me. There's nothing that I can hide from God. And the amazing thing is, he still loves us. He still loves us. He still wants us to make it. He wants to spend all of eternity with you. With me. Some of you probably wouldn't want to spend a whole weekend with me, but he wants to spend a whole eternity with me. My wife, after a 3-day weekend, she's like, can you go back to work? She goes, what are we going to do when you retire? I said, didn't you hear the retirement plan? She goes, what's that? I said, the day I retire is the day you get to take that full-time job at the mall you've always wanted to do. That is a joke. That is a joke. Now, it's going to be weird for her and I because we have never been together with no children. We've never lived together with no kids. Not one day. So, anyway, good thing I'm in a place where I love my work. I'll probably never, well, who knows? I'll probably work part-time, but anyway, I tell people this about retirement. Twice the husband, half the income. That's why they build these big shops, right? And then eventually there's a bedroom out in the shop. And the only time they get back together is when Christmas and Easter, when family comes over. I know this is the truth because I visit a lot of couples. Oh, boy, I'm getting way off track here. Anyway, no, retirement is the best times of life. All you got to do is ask Jack and Sarah. Ask Kelly. There you go. Anyway, we'll just drop it right there. But that's the thing, is God knows everything about you. And let me tell you this, men. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. Sometimes we try to pack so much on, especially as men. I got to make sure that I'm taking care of this and taking care of that and doing this and doing that. And you know, God knows we're just dust. He knows our frame, right? Praise God. I'm going to close with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the will of God. Give thanks. I'm so glad when I'm going through the storm that I know that this will soon pass. God, I'm so glad that the sun's going to shine in my life. I'm so glad that my name is on the roll, the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm so glad, God, that people might have forgotten about me, but you have not forgotten about me. I'm so glad, God. I'm so thankful. These are things that when we get into points of discouragement, and they're going to happen in our life, we remind ourselves just where we are in the pecking order with God. We're not number two. We're not even A1. We are number one. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes in life, you don't feel like you're number one. You wish you got a little more attention. Husband didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. That's all right. Don't complain. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my husband. Help him to be a better husband, that he can get me a better gift next year, and I won't complain. Just talk to him when he's sleeping at night. Give him dreams and visions. Right? Oh, you've never prayed that? Seriously, though, these are the things. Gratitude. You have made a difference. They want to tell you that there's no value for a woman unless she goes and works out of the home. I want you to know this. If you are a woman who's never worked outside of the home, you have no idea the value in the lives that you have impacted. Every time you teach that little child what is right and what is wrong, and then that little child participates in the world and your values and your virtues expand into those individuals' lives. You have a wonderful life. You have been so blessed. Hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful for. Hallelujah. It's just wonderful being in the church, living for God. We have such an advantage and such a blessing over all those that we come in contact with. Amen. Well, I'm going to shut this thing down 5 minutes early. Got a little time for fellowship. Brother Kelly, you got something there? There you go. You can say that. You know, thank God. No more. That is a terrible feeling. Yeah. You know, the joy of the Lord is just fleeting at best. It's fleeting at best. It's just temporary. The joy of the world. Did I say the Lord? I said the joy of the world. The joy of the world. Come on, you're smart enough. The joy of the world is just that. It's temporary. Right? Happiness in the world is just temporary. What shall a man give in exchange of his soul? Right? What does a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing. Nothing. Amen. Well, somebody please report to me on Sunday that they watched that movie and tell me how awesome it was. Oh, Phoebe doesn't think it was awesome. Oh, yeah, it's a good movie. Anyway, I hope you all have a wonderful evening and a wonderful rest of your week. And I am excited for this Sunday's service. We're going to have a wonderful time here on Sunday, and then our Sunday night service is going to be a tremendous blessing. And if you haven't ever participated in a foot washing service, you're in for a great time. All right, praise God. If you would all stand, and I'll ask Brother Long if he would dismiss us in prayer.